Okay, let's get started. We'll ask a blessing on our Bible study this morning. We'll pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for a chance to be in your house today. It was a great day as we shared the sacrament of holy baptism with one of your children. We praise and thank you for that. Please help us never to lose the excitement of witnessing that and of recalling our own baptism. Please let us never tire of hearing the good news of salvation. And bless us as we gather together today to see how we can gain a deeper appreciation for it and be thoroughly equipped by your word to share. In your name, amen. We have a review to take care of. And the first page, if you weren't here last week, was just a little bit about the book, a little bit about the author and his purpose for writing it. So that would be something to take home and look over if you haven't gone through that yet. What I do want to go through very quickly is the second page. This is really the heart of everything that we're going to talk about for the next 11 or so weeks. If you have these answers filled in, will you please just shout them out for me as we go through this? This was biblical support for the title of the book, We Believe, Therefore We Speak. In other words, God has taught us something, and we want to talk about it, and we want to share that. These three groups of people found themselves in some trouble. Can you describe for me the psalmist's affliction, deliverance, gratitude, and action? Yeah, start us off.
There were talking about the cords of death being wrapped around him, and his life was full of trouble and sorrow. And the deliverance was that the Lord protects and the Lord saved him. His gratitude was towards the Lord for having delivered him. And the action was, he said, I believe, therefore I said, and how can I possibly repay the Lord?
Okay. So yeah, there God delivered him, probably from something physical, but also spiritually delivered him from sin. He realized it was all God's doing, and so he wanted to praise God, and he wanted to live his life for God. How can I repay the Lord for the great thing he's done for us? Yeah, fantastic. We did have a question about the verse that this book and this class is based on. The psalmist says, I believe, therefore I am afflicted. And then he goes on to say about how everybody's after him. And what I was trying to say is what Professor Brug says very succinctly about that verse. So if you remember the discussion we have, why would he follow I believe, and then it's almost he is lamenting about everything that's wrong in his life. So here's what Professor Brug says about that. The verse is, I believe, therefore I said I am greatly afflicted, and in my dismay I said, all men are liars. So here is a commentary on these verses, and I think it's very helpful. The psalmist briefly reviews the help he received from the Lord, and we talked about that. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul uses the Greek form of the verse 10, I believe, therefore I have spoken, as a statement of the motivation for his proclamation of the gospel. We had this question too. Some have questioned the appropriateness of Paul's quotation, since in the psalm these words introduce a complaint, not a gospel proclamation. However, this is one of those New Testament citations of an Old Testament passage which are intended to refer not only to the words quoted, but to the whole context which surrounds them. Paul's point in verse 4 is that he preaches boldly and willingly because the Lord has delivered him from danger and death. This is exactly the same point being made by the psalmist in Psalm 116. So Paul's reference to the psalm is very appropriate. Both Paul and the psalmist were sustained and motivated by faith. Like Paul, the psalmist was delivered for a purpose, so that he could walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So he is saying, I believe, even though all this terrible stuff is going on around me, he had that confidence that he believed in the Lord's deliverance. So I think those were very appropriate questions, and hopefully that helps clear some things up. Yes?
Well, I think when I saw that last week in the book of the Corinthians, what came to mind was the idea that we have eyes of faith, that when we believe, we see things differently than the unbelief of God.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. How could somebody who's being so afflicted and being falsely accused and in such a state of life actually trust in God and want to share that God and repay him? Yeah, excellent.
So that's where the psalmist was. What about Paul's affliction, deliverance, gratitude, and action? Who has that filled in from last week?
Yeah, Mr. Walker does.
Paul says that he's the worst of sinners, and that even though he's afflicted in that way, Christ has come to save sinners. He gives honor and glory to God forever. Because he's the one who deserves that honor and glory. The action is I was shown mercy, and so therefore I want to speak to others in you.
Okay, so he points to himself, and for very good reason says he was one of the worst sinners. In fact, he is the worst of sinners, but the fact that God would love him and forgive him is a testimony to God's love, and he wanted to live that also. Yes?
We know scripture's true, but is it fair to say that he's the worst sinner? Because he's not at all the worst sinner?
That's his self-evaluation. Yeah. And I think it's we would consider ourselves. Like in your mind, have you ever thought of yourself as the worst sinner ever? Right. So an exaggeration on Paul's part to make a point. Good clarification.
Which is a big contrast to the world, which says, well, I'm not as bad as that. We realize the problem lies in us.
Good. And Dory.
I think that the fact that Paul persecuted the Christians, that they were actually people who that Paul was part of that operation. So I think the fact that he says he was the worst. It shows a murder.
Good. Yeah, he was taking human life in the name of God, so that ranks you pretty high up there. And he's really showing the guilt in his heart, the remorse in his heart. He was really ashamed that he did those things, that he would not only oppose God's will, but that he would take human life. Yeah, good.
And what about all of us? Can you walk through that section for me, please?
Note takers unite, help us out, Mr.
Buxton. Well, I have the world's in sin, but we're all delivered by the grace of Jesus. And because we believe, we speak it, we create the news, and we share it.
Okay, good, fantastic. That's where we're coming from. Everybody is in the same boat.
The writers of the Bible talk this way when we are honest with ourselves.
We talk this way, and because God has done something so great for us, we want to pay him back with the psalms. And one of the ways we do is by sharing these great things that God has shared with us. And then we talk about how that really is the focus of everything we do. It shapes our ministry so that it focuses ultimately on Jesus, although something we do just for fun. And that's good too. But our job, our ministry, our message focuses on Jesus.
Then we talked about how the hymn verse at the bottom is not just a pretty tune.
It's not just some neat poetry. It's an accurate reflection of what God has put into our hearts. And because it's there, we want to speak it as well. That very, very quickly is what we went through last week. And now we get some practical application of this.
On the bottom of page 3 is where we left off. Based on this quote, the one right above, and what you know about evangelism, give examples of both evangelism and pre-evangelism.
Evangelism is described above as communicating either by voice or printed page the good news of Jesus. Pre-evangelism would be something that happens before you deliver that message. So we'll leave it good and generic now, and we will get specific in just a little bit. So So see if you can come up for me some examples of evangelism and something that we might consider pre-evangelism. Yes. How about let's chew on it for a minute?
Okay.
All right. Give me a minute to think about this. Okay, how about an example of pre-evangelism first? Yes. Okay, so before you share the good news of Jesus, you would pray about it? Fantastic. That is not evangelism in and of itself, is it? Praying for somebody, praying that God would give you the strength to do this. Okay, but it just may leave you there. Okay, excellent example. We'll go to the back and then we'll come back up.
The way you live your life daily so that it shows people that you are a person. You get them willing to ask you something about it.
Okay, we had lifestyle witnessing, did we not? With Mr. Buxton, that's what that's all about, correct? Yes?
Become a friend to your neighbor or whoever it is first
and
trust.
That's what we're looking at, and I think so. I think that's a good example. Just being a good, friendly neighbor. Yes.
Well, after these things have been done, then at some point they need to know that they need that good news, that they cannot do it on their own, that they are sinners. But maybe that's part of the evangelism part. Or is that just, you've got to be a bad news for you to appreciate the news.
That's an excellent point, and we need to figure out where that fits into evangelism. Sharing the law with someone. Like you said, eventually we need to know, why do I need this? Why do I need Jesus? Why should I care? And how does that fit into evangelism? Yeah, excellent. We'll go to the back and then we'll come back up. Yes? Good. Bible study and prayer go hand in hand. So if we are wanting to be better witnesses for our Savior, we are going to be in the Word and praying about it. Certainly go hand in hand. Yes, excellent. Now we have lots of examples of pre-evangelism. Can you give me an example of evangelism? Yes.
I recently traveled to Japan and knew what I was going to kind of get into the language, and 99% of Japan is unchurched. And I knew I was going to be developing friendships there. So Linda and I got a package of little Wells handouts you can get on the Bible and on the gospel message, printed in Japanese. And then developed a friend. As I was there a whole week, I worked with one guy, and I knew we were going on this cultural tour. And they took us to these shrines and all that, and he told me about his religion. And I quickly handed out, well, I'd love to tell you about mine. And I handed all the stuff printed in Japanese, because communication was a big barrier, but I knew in the pamphlets I was giving the gospel. And he could get you on that, and they had it. Here's the church, and you know, so gave me on that. So I didn't actually speak the words to him, but I gave them probably more than I could share with them in 5 minutes.
That's an interesting take on evangelism. Can you really share Jesus through the written word? I would hope so. Or anytime we read these lessons, we're wasting our time. Yeah, excellent example of evangelism. Good.
Yes, and then George.
Inviting somebody to come to church is a way of...
Or might we split hairs there and call that pre-evangelism? We'll argue about it in a little bit.
Okay.
But it definitely, in bringing somebody to church.
I thought it was called, my husband said I was a contentious person this morning, so we might have
heard that. All right, I'm going to back up a few. And I'm going to put your answer on hold.
You responded, I am not.
No, we need to talk about that. That's an excellent point to bring up at this point in our discussion. George. So you go to a foreign country, and you have the Word of God printed in that language, and then the Bible, good, and then you hand that out. Evangelism, correct? Yeah. And I don't know if there's a language that our publishing house does not have something printed in. I'm sure there is, but I think it'd be hard to find it. Yeah, excellent example.
Yeah. Can we go back to the beginning when we said our
Christ as your Savior, and that was really hard to say to these good friends in high school.
keeping your eyes open. I think that's how you started. Yes, keeping your eyes open for opportunities to share Jesus in your everyday life. You don't have to worry. You can't regurgitate God's great exchange in Japanese. What you need to be able to do is love your friends enough to look for opportunities to make a connection. Very good. We have one more. You can wait. All right. I went to a drive-in once. I got about four and I wore my footy pajamas to go see Grease. I was four.
Was it Grease? Would I have been about four then? Let's turn the page, please. Here's why we're talking about evangelism and pre-evangelism. Would the real evangelism please stand up? We have been talking about what exactly is it? Do you need the law to have evangelism? Do you need Jesus in there for it to be evangelism? Here are some quotes from the book. Quote A, while one could conceivably call this evangelism, he's talking about lifestyle witness, somebody brought that up, and grounds maintenance, having an attractive campus, could be called evangelism in a very broad sense. It appears to be better to use some other term, perhaps pre-evangelism, to describe such non-verbal witness and to reserve the word evangelism for the verbal proclamation of the good news of salvation. It is the message and the message alone which is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And I would imagine that in the examples that you gave me, I think when it all comes down to it, we would agree with that. Whether it is spoken verbal, whether it is printed verbal, somehow you need to communicate Jesus. That is the very narrowest definition of the term evangelism. So that would be a quote A kind of person. We have an excellent example of a quote B kind of person. In a wide sense, we can say that Peter's entire message at Solomon's colonnade, shortly after Pentecost, law and gospel was evangelizing or preaching the gospel. And somebody even used the words that you truly need to understand your need for Jesus before you care. So in a wider sense, it is the entire message of God's word could be considered evangelism in a wider sense. But eventually, it has to come down to you need to communicate Jesus to someone somehow. And then there's quote C. If you insist on lumping a bunch of stuff into the evangelism category, such as pre-evangelism, being a decent person, watching out for these chances to witness, above all, therefore, the evangelist's message will center on the finished work of Jesus. Maybe it's going to take you some time to get there. Maybe you're smiling politely to the lady who walks her dog through your neighborhood every morning. But is that really evangelism? Or is that pre-evangelism? And does it matter that we make this distinction? I think so. So that we can understand where everything we do, everything we say, how that fits into sharing Jesus. So, quote A says, this is very narrow. You need to communicate Jesus. Point B says, yeah, but maybe you're going to include another teaching from the Bible too. Law is a good example. Creation. Maybe you're talking about that. So in a narrow sense here, we'll give you that leeway. And then if you insist, we can talk about other things, but probably better to term them pre-evangelism. Who had a comment?
I think a lot of times, one reason that evangelism falls flat in some settings is you're comparing it to worldly standards. So someone you know was hurting, they found Jesus and comforted them. But that may not work for somebody else because, according to them, they're not hurting. They have a job, they're doing fine, their family's health, they have their health, whatever it may be. And so you're offering things that they don't really need and trying to improve their life in ways that don't need to be improved. Whereas everybody is a sinner. And when they really confront what's in their heart, they know that they need something more and they can't do it on their own. And so that's why I agree with Jeff. You have to share the law with them in a loving way. Mm-hmm. In a, you know, using yourself as an example, maybe. Not that, hey, you want to be like me, but I know exactly what you want.
Good. Yes?
I think,
and then we'll read the box after Greg's comment.
Pre-evangelism is the relationship building that we all need to do for a true meaty conversation can occur, where you can truly share law or gospel or hope, whatever is appropriate. Because if you know who you're talking to, and you know the audience, you know what passages to apply, especially if you've done your pre-evangelism work of Bible study, prayer, and all that, the compliments. So I think there are two distinct things that are dependent.
Pre-evangelism and?
Yeah, you've got to have pre to do the evangelism, but if you're only doing pre, you're not really getting into the deep conversation. That's the goal. Truly sharing long positive.
Yeah.
Being on an airplane is an interesting thing. And I would say that pre-evangelism has happened already in his life, if we're talking about your son, Kevin. You know, and the pre-evangelism there would be, well, what do you do? Well, you know, I'm studying to be a pastor. And if you just keep it on that level, is that evangelism?
No.
We have no. We have yes. And it's going to be yes if it leads to a conversation about Jesus. And it's going to be pre-evangelism if you just chit-chat about the weather. Or you could say, because now I have witnessed to this individual that I'm studying to be a pastor, and maybe this person is going to want to go home and open up a Bible that's been, you know, on the table for the past 20 years. Maybe we could say that. Strictly speaking, evangelism is communicating the good news about Jesus. So, to your point, there's probably some pre-evangelism going on. But when it gets down to it, if he talked about Jesus and what Jesus means for this person, then yeah, then there's evangelism. But I appreciate your point, too, that you don't have to do all this homework and get yourself all geared up and do some, you know, prefabricated steps. And I think that's really what your point was, right? Sometimes you're just in the situation and away you go.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking more of the other person. Like,
the relationship part.
Yeah, the relationship part with the other person. You don't always have the opportunity to have that.
I understand, but I would still say that your conversation leading up to that point is going to be pre-evangelism. Because you can sit next to this person and not say a word the whole time. And if you strike up a conversation, you could be working up to talking about Jesus.
Very short
pre-evangelism. Yeah. But I understand exactly what you're saying. And I'll even give you the last word to you. Say any more on it? That's a really good example, I think. On an airplane. Yeah, you can talk about all kinds of good stuff, but if you don't talk about Jesus, it's not evangelism. And that's a good example of keeping our faith good and frosty, so that when we're put into that spot, you know, then here we go. And hopefully this class will give us the confidence to be able to do that. Yes?
They're saying it's never a good excuse to say, oh, I shouldn't say preach the gospel because I'm not well enough. We should always be ready to do it, no matter what situation we're in, even if we can't really think of the scripture verse to we maybe should have, but we should always be worried because we do have good news in us to share.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we're five comments behind. So you can have the last one. I'm going to read the box.
Okay, one is a parable saying that we are all, evangelism is not a switch we turn on and off. We are all evangelists, and depending on what we're doing, we're giving a message that may or may not be what God taught us.
Right. Yeah, you are the light of the world, salt of the earth. And the way that we live our lives can turn somebody on to our Savior or turn them off to our Savior. But we can only live so good so long before we need to then say very clearly, here is my Savior. I'm going to read the box and then we'll let it talk.
Evangelism involves communication. This is a summary of what we're talking about. And it's not wishy-washy, it's just being all-inclusive. Communicating the good news about Jesus and his work from one individual to another. Therefore, evangelism in the narrowest of senses involves communication, spoken or written. We had good examples of written, either in a formal or informal setting. Evangelism in a wider sense involves communicating the entire message from God, including sin and grace, law and gospel, and other teachings of Scripture. We had a good example of that. Finally, in the widest sense, evangelism may include areas officially called pre-evangelism. And in a second, you get a chance to argue this. But for now, here's where we're going through. When we talk about this class, it's going to be in the narrowest of senses, communicating Jesus to another person.
My question actually is a good follow-up to this, because we've been talking about everything that would be maybe pre-evangelism, things that would come before we would communicate the gospel with another individual. Is what we're doing here at St. Mark's right now in this Bible class, could that be considered evangelism? Because now we're talking about the actual message that Jesus has taken care of us. And we are assuring each other that he's forgiven us and that we'll have this evangelism.
If we're saying communicating from one person to another the good news about Jesus, yeah. Yes?
But if you're really communicating to the person you assume, you can't really make sure that they don't know Jesus already. That's evangelism. What we're doing here is Bible study.
I would say it's both. And there's a purpose for sharing the word, communicating it one to another in worship with a fellow Christian. There's another purpose, which is sharing with somebody who doesn't know it at all. People like to say that one of your biggest evangelism fields are people who don't come to church, who are members of your own congregation, who know Jesus very well, but for whatever reason have wandered. So it's both. When we communicate the good news about Jesus, angels to the shepherds, right, that's evangelizing. And then how do we apply it? You know, I think there's one thing for us to get together in this room and talk about Jesus, but it's another thing to share it with somebody who doesn't know it or who isn't very sure about it. Yes?
One of the interesting things that I think we forget is that we have no idea who knows the good news of Jesus and who doesn't. We can assume, based on outward appearances, that somebody might understand and have an understanding of who God is and all of that. But we don't know what's in another person's heart. Only God knows that. And so when we're sitting in a classroom like this, talking about the power of God for the salvation for everyone who believes, we are evangelizing because we don't know who's saved and who's not saved. Because that's God's job. And so I would say that I think we should be very careful to say, well, those people are in church every week, they don't need to hear the good news of Jesus because they're in church every week. Well, you know what? Maybe they do. Because they might not understand who God is.
George.
I think of
specific. Right now what we're doing is we're just introducing the term, the concept. Then we're going to take a look at the theology, what do we believe, and then we'll spend some time with specific strategies and ways to communicate it. So we need to be patient and make sure that we're all on the same page, because not everybody has gone through this. And so we need to know, what is evangelism? What do I believe? What am I going to talk about, and how can I talk about it? So yeah, I agree with you. It's absolutely essential that we learn some tricks. Yeah, good.
My question, I think, wasn't to try to get us off the hook here, because nobody likes to think of themselves as being the guy that's going to have to go out and knock on the door and talk to a stranger. And if you don't do that, then we're really not being evangelists. But the purpose in asking the question is to make us realize that if we're going to ever gain confidence to do exactly that, then we have to feel comfortable about talking about our faith with those that we're close to. During Bible class, we can't be afraid to speak about what we know to be true. That's a wonderful thing that we have. And so when we start talking about it with our friends here at St. Bart's, it's going to be even more natural then to have that opportunity to talk to our friends who we don't really know. We have an idea that they know Christ, but we aren't really sure. And then that can transfer over to other friends that I'm pretty certain they don't know anything about them. But it's not this radical jump that we're all looking for, where we go from being a person who would never think about talking about this to a stranger. It just won't go that far. We take examples from God's Word. Paul was the kind of a person who was, he was pretty clear about the way that he would present himself, no matter what it was. We have other people that maybe they were kind of remaining back. But God uses our personality, and he takes what he's given us, and then he uses that for his purpose. And it's good that we talk about it and clearly define what it is that we know evangelism to be from God.
I'm going to cut this off, transition, and then go on to what we need to get to wrap up today's lesson. But I think that's an excellent point. Just to that point, when I was going to school, it was a neat new thing was to present alternative phone companies to the biggies, like Sprint, and Sprint came out with the pin drop. And well, then there were other companies that came out with that same technology, but instead of using commercials, they used your friends, and then your friends would get you signed up for this phone company under them, and then that's how that was their job, and then you could get their long distance and their phone service. And when a friend says, hey, I'm just starting this, can I come give you this presentation? It's painful to sit through. Because your friend is, there are long pauses, there's some stuttering, there's, let me see where I am in my notes. But the more that they do that, you become very slick at it. And then you get good at presenting it, and in the end, you get good at selling it. That's what we're looking for, too, is to get very comfortable, first of all, with what do I believe? That's the first half of this course, and we need to be very comfortable with what do I believe and talking about it. Yeah, I agree. Here, in conclusion, how would you define evangelism? I want you, if you have a pencil and you're a note writer, to write down your definition, because the very last thing we're going to do is hear some definitions of evangelism. And then I want you to agree or disagree with any one of the following. Living a Christian life is evangelism. A well-groomed church round is evangelism. Singing hymns during worship is evangelism. Having a spring festival at church is evangelism. Inviting a friend to church is evangelism. And then, for the teen group, inviting someone to a latte is evangelism. So what I want you to do now is write your definition, and then pick one of these underneath in conclusion and tell me if it is evangelism or not and why. Sit tight on our definition for just a second. Because I agree with you. Yeah. You look at the picture of the sign. That's not evangelism. because it's missing everything that you just said. George, yeah, excellent point. So take a minute, write out your definition, and then pick one of these to tell me if it is evangelism or not.
No, evangelism would be a lot easier.
You see, just sit tight for a second.
It would be a lot easier if we didn't have people.
Oh, yeah, it ruins everything. That is sister studying the universe. Said the same thing. Wrap it up in 15. Okay, George started us off in a very appropriate direction. It is spreading the word. Who else has a definition? Yes? Okay, the act of presenting the gospel to someone. Good. Emily, and then Mr. Lerner.
Any action or speech in which you display a Christian character and share gospel.
Oh, great. So is that evangelism or pre-evangelism? It's both, yeah, excellent.
And really, if you want to share the gospel, there's probably going to be some pre-evangelism built in there, but for the sake of argument, communicating is evangelism. What you said was pre-evangelism leading up to it. Yeah, excellent answer. As long as we are very clear, what is evangelism, what is pre-evangelism? Who else had one? Yeah.
I said communicating Jesus as your Savior in your words and actions.
So now we're just at a sticking point. Can my actions communicate my Savior? Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say yes, because I've taught at Folsom Prison. And so I taught the murderers, rapists, and robbers that behave themselves. And I was teaching a math class. So it was all about algebra and stuff like that. I never talked about season of the church here. I never said Jesus' name. I never said the Bible, used any of those words, and about 3 weeks into the class, the students came up to me and said, you're a Christian, aren't you? So that's why I'm saying we're evangelists, whether we think we are or not, no matter what. When people see us, they're going to see something. And if we're not willing to talk about Christ, they're going to see an evangelist that doesn't want to talk about Christ or something. So that's why I think our actions are really important. We don't think the world sees us as evangelists, but there are people out there that look at, they see how we pull out of the parking lot after the church service, and we cut them off.
I would say that's an excellent example of witnessing by your lifestyle. Because somebody can say you're a Christian, that means you're weird. You're a Christian, that means you are stuck on yourself. You're a Christian, that means you think you're better than everyone else. Somewhere at some point, somebody shared Jesus with those people. Either that, or they're just saying, hey, you're a good person, you must be a Christian. And so we're missing the communication of who is Jesus, what has he done for you. But I agree, we are constantly giving a testimony about ourselves. But if we're going to say it's evangelism, it has to include a communication of Jesus. Not to take anything away from anything you just said, but we need to split that hair. Do you have a comment?
Well, I don't disagree with anything being said. I'm just thinking of the passage, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father and God. And you could provide more in-depth, you know, explanation to that passage. But it could sound like through your actions, people are going to praise God. But nobody's going to be able to praise God without faith in Jesus. Do you judge
Yeah, I think that's a really good example. They are going to take notice of God, say something good about God. That's what praising is, right? You say the good things about someone, something. Here are these people that realize there's something different about... Are you Dr. Lerbold to them? Mr. Lerbold?
No.
There's something different about this teacher. You must be a Christian. That in and of itself is giving praise to God. There's something different about these people. Do you think even the demons recognize Jesus?
So it's a generic phrase, not a belief in Jesus' kind of phrase.
Yeah, initially.
You're spreading the love of Jesus.
And again, there's a difference between living my life, being a good, decent Christian, and actually specifically communicating Jesus. There's a difference. There's a distinction. And so the Christian, my goal is to lead such a good life that people are going to say, wow, you know, there is something to this. And ultimately, part of my Christian living is going to be this verbal communication, that in the end, that person is going to be able to praise God in heaven.
And you're
going to
be able to involve that in your living your life in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Softball team, right? There's a good chance to really stand out, although we don't always do the best job. But we try. We strive for that. We shoot for that. And we do an excellent job because people notice. Is that evangelism? No. But it's getting people to the point that they're either going to say, wow, you better pray harder next time so that you catch the ball, which we got. Or they're going to go home and say, you know what, these guys are different from a lot of other people out here. Which is recognizing God is in here somehow, somewhere. And then how does it get from that to verbal or written communication of Jesus? We can take one more comment, and because we have to hand out books, we have to do all kinds of stuff. So who's going to arm wrestle? Going to arm wrestle for the last comment? Ladies first. Okay.
Mine's quick. Okay. I think I'm being hung up because as a communication major, there's lots of ways to communicate. So I would actually in your box want to change your written thing here that says that it involves spoken or written communication, not communication. I think you need to define communication because I think what their points are, there are lots of ways to communicate things. And I think that's where I'm getting hung up on the communication part.
Spoken or written is no. Defining what is communication. This is what that line is intending to say. It says it involves communication. Evangelism involves communication, comma, what kind of communication? Written or spoken. That's what evangelism is. And so there's probably a more clear, exact way to say that. I would agree with you. And so, yeah, I am saying that everything else that we're talking about is pre-evangelism. Is lifestyle witnessing. It's being the salt of the earth. Yeah, we could clarify that a little bit better. Sure.
Forgive me, but this is so clear to me. Okay. And I remember this from my BIC class. Everybody sees God's presence in the world, but it doesn't save them. We need to know the gospel message as far as what saves us. Not just that God is creator, but we need to hear those saving words. And that's what evangelism is, getting those saving words into someone's heart.
It involves communication, right?
The phrase is the plan of salvation. We use it as we're conveying the plan of salvation. So even if you just speak of Jesus without telling them how Jesus saves them, how God planned Jesus to save them, that's not enough.
Good. There's lots of different Jesuses out there.
That's right.
Okay, good. And pray, and then we will wrap it up for today.
Yes. All I want to point out is lifestyle witnessing absolutely necessary, but if that's your only ploy, when you sin, it falls drastically short, and you need to be able to speak those
written or something where the law of the gospel. So you can say, look, you know, I sinned too, and what you just saw me do is a perfect example. I failed there, and that's why I need Jesus too. But if you're just thinking you're going to go out and your works are going to share or show people the way to salvation, you're going to show them work righteousness, not Jesus.
Okay. And we also, the point of this class is also to line up like what George was saying. What are some strategies? Because I can't. I flat out do not have the gift to tell somebody about Jesus. And one, you're probably selling yourself short, but not everybody has the same gift to go out and do that. So then how can I get the verbal or written plan of salvation communicated to this person? So maybe my gifts are pre-evangelism, you know, befriending someone. But then how do we hook them up with someone who can communicate the plan of salvation? So maybe we can talk, if you really care about what comes after, you agree with me that these are evangelism or pre-evangelism. We can talk about that next week, but the plan is to go on with who is our God and what has He done for us. And when we know that, then we will be more confident to talk about that. You can read the concluding paragraph on your own. If you would like to read ahead in your book for next time, you could focus on pages 21 through 48. If you want to do that. I know, I'm terrible, right? And if you really love Jesus, you'll go back and read pages 1 through 48. The book is, we got a group discount, $15.40. So if you would please, if you ordered one, come up. You can grab a book and grab an envelope. I don't say envelope. I'm an envelope kind of person. But grab one of these, and then your books are here. Thank you very much. We need to have these conversations. These are very good conversations so that we can share our statements.